Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles. We win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office equipment solutions North America wide?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you in Oilers Now. It is currently 12:35 in Edmonton. We'll tell you guests on the show. Receive gift certificates to Roos Chris Steakhouse, which reopens for in-person dining on Friday, June 11th. Tell Maggie, Taylor, Brendan, and Chef Eltoff that Oilers Now sent you to Roos Chris. It's the greatest steak you've ever had. 9990 Jasper Avenue. Just before we go to Sportsnet Spec, Mark Spector for the horses and Horse Racing Alberta. Again, they've got live racing back at Century Mile Friday nights and Sunday evenings. No fan access, but you can watch and wager online at hbibet.com. Post time at 6:15. I want to go into the Ashley Fine Floors text line. And I didn't originally think we were going to talk about this, but then the fine came down, $25K for Bruce Cassidy. Chris says, out of a 403 exchange, props to Cassidy. The officiating is a disaster. Did you see the Oilers cross-check last night? That gets called, but McDavid gets mauled. More pressure from the media on the NHL is the only way to change this. I thought it was just me whining, said Chris, but then Friedman, Shannon, and others came on your show and all said what a bad look it was for the NHL that McDavid has had zero calls against them in the last 8 playoff games. It's time somebody told the refs. By not calling penalties, you are in fact influencing the result of games as much, if not more, than when you call the penalties. How many times in the Jets-Oilers series did you see a non-call at one end result in a critical goal at the other end a short time later? From Chris. Well, the reality of the situation is the Oilers did not start Game 1 the way they needed to, but a extra call in Game 1 or Game 2 changes the outcome of the series. It does. It at least might have changed the trajectory of the series. Last night, I had empathy for Nikolaj Ehlers. I mean, he's engaged with Brendan Gallagher, and to me, that's a 50-50 play. I was stunned there was a call on that, and it was interesting that Kevin Bieksa made a comment about it being the skill guys getting some calls here against them. Maybe because they're not as often in the regular season put in a place where they have to sort of give shots back. Mark Spector and me have had some animated conversations on this, but I think Spec is coming around a bit, you know, and when you're Edmonton and you have the McDavids and the Drysdales of the world, you want calls being made. When you're Edmonton in 06 and you're playing Detroit, who've got more skill, you want there to be some latitude for the likes of Chris Pronger. Often it depends on the situation. I would say that as a rule of thumb, experienced teams get experienced calls, which is kind of what Bruce Cassidy's saying. Mark Spector's had a long, at times cozy relationship with the officials. He respects them. I do too. It's not an easy job. But Mark, welcome to the show. Are we at the stage now, because we can look at this maybe more objectively because it's Boston and the Islanders or Montreal and Winnipeg and not the Oilers. Are we at the stage now where maybe there does need to be a bit of a reevaluation done in terms of game management come playoff times and the inconsistency of what is and is not a penalty?
Well, I think what we have to probably decide, Bob, and I think that, you know, that there's some critical mass here, right? You know, there's the micro stats like McDavid going 8 games without drawing a call, which is a really damning stat for the National Hockey League, frankly. And, you know, then there's the macro look of there's so many infractions in a game. If I called Shea Weber for cross-checking every time he cross-checked somebody, he'd have 4, 5, 6 minors a game. So, you know, what has to happen here is we do need to take. We're all afraid of a hockey game with 15 power plays in it. But until you call one of those power types of hockey games, Bob, the players are never going to learn and they're never going to stop. Right? So you remember when we got back from the lockout, all the power plays, everybody hated it, right? Every one of these people, our listeners and us, who say we need more penalties, we hated that hockey where there was 10 or 12 a night. But I think we need to brace for some of that at some point here, because that will be the result of a crackdown. We're going to have to stomach some 12 and 14 power play nights until the players figure it out.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I don't think I hated it quite as much as you do. I think I hated seeing Minnesota play back-to-back games in Edmonton on back-to-back nights more. But that's another conversation. And to be honest with you, Mark, on the power, that's why I always find the comparable between as great of a player as Sidney Crosby is. He's an awesome player. But the reality is Crosby and Ovechkin's first 2 years in the NHL, they're playing in 05-06 and 06-07, and that 05-06 is, I mean, Crosby had, at the same point where they're roughly playing at the 400-game mark, they both had around 560 or 540 points or something like that, and Crosby had like 40 more power play points, and they were all from those first 2 years because there were way more power plays called back, like McDavid was destroying them and even strength scoring, and I'm like, you know what? There needs to be a, how about this, Mark? How about there needs to be a balance of where we're at right now? Maybe we don't need to go back to 05-06 levels, but what's happening right now isn't acceptable either. We got to find a sort of a middle ground. Or
I agree. You're right. I do see a game where, you know, we've watched hockey become this sport where it's surely the toughest road to travel physically between the opening of the playoffs and the hoisting of the championship trophy, right? I mean, football, what do they play? Four games. I know football's tough, but they play once a week. Basketball plays a lot of games, but it's not as physical as hockey. You're not getting hit by pucks in basketball, right? Baseball's baseball. They play their games, but it's nowhere near the physical toll. So hockey's taken pride on guys fighting through and teams, you know, blocking a shot and not missing a shift. And that's kind of become hockey's identity. And wrapped inside of that identity has been the fight through the checking and don't whine about it, you know, mystique. Sidney Crosby went from a superstar who dangled all the time to a guy who's become the best, the grittiest superstar, the guy that can fight through everything and still produce come playoff time. Like, you know, he's skates through the mud better than any superstar in the history of the game. And, you know, we've become that sport, Bob. I'm not sure why. Like, I'm not sure why we've prided ourselves on everyone's ability to hook and hold and stop and check. And why don't we pride ourselves on dangling through center ice and scoring beautiful goals? Why do we go that direction in the first place?
Well, and I wonder how much of it's going to change because you're going to have two national networks in the States next year, adding to the almighty dollar as we try to get the whole industry back up and running. It's going to help out Gary's, you know, by the way, even with those two deals and the Rogers deal, which is massive in Canada, they're still at about a tenth of the money that NBA basketball brings in. And that wasn't the case back in the 1980 at that time.
Right.
So it is interesting to me. And I would say to you, Mark, that the people that influence, like, do the GMs influence how games are managed, officiated? How much does guys like Colin Campbell have, you know, influence on this? I mean, we have listeners to the show, guys that have been guests on the show that have taken Colin Campbell to task for sending out emails complaining about the treatment of his son when his son was an NHL player. And
so
I can tell
you, what's that got to do with anything?
Well, if you're in a league role and you're in a position of authority and power, maybe you have to recuse yourself from anything that involves your son.
Sure, but that's got nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Does Colin do you think the so-called Peterborough Mafia, does he have any influence? You tell me. You know this better than me. Does Colin Campbell have influence in the league today?
Well, for sure. And to be frank, too much influence. You know, too much influence. Colin Campbell, who I've known very well and is a really nice guy, and none of that matters. Colin Campbell comes at you from his playing days back in the early 70s. You know, the game's not the same. And there is some stewards of the game, Bob. They're generally older guys who try to make sure hockey doesn't become soccer, where guys are rolling around. They want to make sure that five-on-five play sort of rules the day whenever possible. And you know what? It is time for some change. It's time for some influence. You know, just as we're looking at young GMs like John Chayka and Kyle Dubas and guys like that, there's probably some of the guys shaping the game at the league level should be younger and hipper too. You know, I'm absolutely for that, Bob. This sameness in the NHL head office. Gary Bettman's been the, how long has he been the commissioner for, Bob? 28 years or something?
Yeah, 20. I think 26 or 27 years. Since
something
94.
Like that.
Yeah.
Coley Campbell's had a position of influence in there for every bit as long. You know, let's shake it up, man. Let's get some younger people with new views in there, because the trend is poor. I don't like the trend, Bob.
I mean, put it this way. If my son had somehow overcome my genetics and I was a general manager for an NHL team and my son was up for the draft, I think I'd recuse myself from that conversation for the organization I'm working for. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that's why I brought up that's why I'm saying the look on, and that rankled a lot of people. All the guys that seem to know Colin pretty well, I don't. All the guys that seem to know Colin pretty well think he's a good guy. So, and he's certain, right? But the fact of the matter remains, we are, at the end of the day, when they're sitting there putting the graphic up for the Edmonton-Toronto game on a Saturday night when we're playing next season, they're not putting up Jujhar Khaira head-to-head against Alex Kerfoot. They're putting Connor McDavid up head-to-head against Austin Matthews. They're selling the stars. So it's interesting what Bieksa said last night, because it's like, well, look, the stars are getting called. It's almost like the stars in the case of hockey, not only do they have to fight through more, they're almost judged more harshly when they do it. Maybe they just don't know how to retaliate as cheaply and as well as the everyday player does, because they don't do it there. I don't know. I mean, the possible.
No, that's fair. They're not as experienced in that art of the game. There's no doubt about that. But you know, I think where we run into trouble, Bob, because all of these things, you know, the GMs are really the caretakers of the game when it comes to new reffing, new policies, new places they want to crack down.
Yeah.
The GMs are the ones. And where we run into trouble is if we start to focus on, we want, you know, the superstars to have more free reign. The problem is only six of those guys have a superstar,
Bingo.
Or only 10
Bingo.
Of them or whatever. So that's a problem. The guy at Tree Living doesn't want, if Tree Living wants to keep his job in Calgary, it's probably not great if they start calling extra penalties for Connor McDavid, you know? So the approach doesn't work for me, where we're going to let a small group of players fly above the radar compared to everyone else. It's got to be a more systematic change, Bob, in my opinion. It can't just be we're going to watch our great players go. Not every GM has a great player, you know? So I think there's a way to do this, but I don't think focusing on McDavid and Pettersson and McKinnon and you know, the guys that are, you know, all stars. I don't think that's the way, Bob. I don't think that's the way.
Though they do put bums in the seat at the end of the day. Mitch in the Greater text to say, what is happening? I agree with Spectre. Great take on Colin Campbell and the power within the league. You can text us at 780-496-0063. Ashley Fine Flores text line. Okay, well, I'm not going to read that one. Here we go. Spec, the easiest way not to have it become soccer is if somebody flops, dives, and embellishes during a game and the ref doesn't catch it, then it should be a one-game suspension upon video review. Well, maybe they need to review those as well on a flop. Like, maybe that's now you're in a situation where you're reviewing a lot of calls. You found a way to get the games way down, Mark, in length. I don't know if that's going to work either, but let's keep the text going on the Ashley Fine Flores text line.
I mean, stern measures, right? Like, if we were, this has been a long time building the game we have today, Bob. It's, you know, it's come for years and years and years to get to where we're at. They've reshaped the game after the lockout. They've got rid of, you know, trying to get rid of head hits. They've really tried to get rid of obstruction. All those things. It's taken a long time to get to where we sit today. You're not going to fix it by a little tiny tweak here and a little tiny tweak there. The caller's right. The minute we start to crack down, you're going to see some of these superstar guys start to dive to get even more penalties. That's how it always goes. So I'm all for it. I think that's an excellent text. You know, if we see Connor McDavid flopping all over the ice, I don't want to see. I don't care what uniform the guy's wearing. Hockey people don't want to see guys rolling around like soccer players. So,
they should review. Guys from Iceland don't flop around. Just
okay. That's about 0.7% of them, but keep going, you know.
All right. Here we go. Texter, this email comes to us from Val from the high desert of northeast Colorado. Texter Chris, welcome to the club known as the Voices of Reason. Just officiate the game in front of you. By the way, Bob, this actually doesn't qualify as a loser's lament. It constitutes a call for officiating reform. All right. Well,
hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Get off the refs. We'll get on to Montreal, Winnipeg, and maybe what that series end result says about the Oilers, if anything, when we return in Oilers Now.
This is Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
12:53 in Edmonton. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you on Oilers Now. It's a Tuesday. That means Mark Spector for the horses and horse racing Alberta. All right, Spec, last night, GWG and OT for Tyler Toffoli. What a signing. More on that in a second. But the Canadians sweep the Winnipeg Jets in four straight after Winnipeg vanquished Edmonton in four straight. Does that say anything at all about Edmonton? Does it say more about what Winnipeg endured early in the series in game one where they lost two pretty significant players? Does it say something about the Canadians? You tell me.
Well, it's a lot of questions, and I don't have too many answers, Bob. I'll tell you what, from 40,000 feet, when the team that sweeps you gets swept, I think you know you got a long ways to go.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty obvious statement. It wasn't the same Winnipeg team. They lost Scheifele in the first game. You know, he's their best player. But I'll say this, you know, the goalie that had the .950 save percentage against Edmonton, I believe he was below nine. Was he below nine against Montreal, Bob?
Going into last night's game, he was .897. So yeah, he had a good start last night. He made a lot of stops last night.
So he's kicking around 900. The point is, to me, I'm starting to focus down now on why is it, right? Why is it that the Montreal Canadiens could get a puck past him in one out of every 10 shots and the Edmonton Oilers could only get a half a puck past him in one out of every 10 shots? There's something there. I'd like to know what it is, right? After that, I guess I'll end on you know what, Winnipeg beat Edmonton in four. It's the closest four-game series anyone's ever covered or seen or watched. No doubt about that. But they beat them in four. And Edmonton's got a long ways to go. They think they're going to get out of the West next, or out of the whatever we're going to call it, I guess the Pacific next year, because Vegas is probably a better team than both of those.
So, Mark, if the Oilers had played, just for full perspective here, if DeMelo gets hurt in the first shift against Edmonton and Scheifele takes himself out of the series in game one,
it's a big difference.
I mean, that I guess that's a bit of it for me. For me, the Canadians never saw the same Winnipeg team Edmonton saw. Even the last two games between Edmonton and Winnipeg, the Jets did not have the same discipline that they exhibited in terms of, and when I mean discipline, the tactical discipline that they had in the first two games. Edmonton had lots of chances. Edmonton squandered leads in Game 3 and Game 4 against Winnipeg. And maybe, you know what? You know what, Mark? When we talked at the start of the season, we both thought Montreal was going to be a good playoff team. And guess what? They're a good playoff team.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I thought Montreal would be a better regular season team, frankly, than they were. But, you know, we got a glimpse of Montreal in the two games in here, Bobby. Remember, Montreal was leading 1-0, I think, with about 9 minutes to play, and the Oilers squeaked that game out, maybe 3 or 4 to 1 with a couple empty netters.
Yeah.
Connor McDavid went through Weber and somebody else, and it was a very memorable goal. And then the next night, Montreal squeezed a life out of Edmonton and won that game fair and square. And I honestly thought that in six periods of hockey, the Habs won five of them in
and
that two-game series.
That second game, Shea Weber cross-checked and one sequence Leon Draisaitl four times.
He did.
In the spine four times on one shift.
He did. He was wielding that thing like Ryan Getzlaff. So, I mean, now we go back to a former topic. But the point I had was this
They're
looked
built.
Like a team that could play playoff hockey.
Well, and we'll see. I mean, I got to be honest, Mark. I'm a little surprised. Vegas has been better than Colorado the last nine periods of that series. I'd say Colorado's lucky it's tied 2-2. We're going to hit on that. We're also, but not before we sort of relate something to Tyler Toffoli and maybe Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Is there a comparable That's where we're going to go after 1 o'clock Global News weather traffic update with Eileen Bell.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon. On Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.